Welcome, podcasting them softly. This is a really great series. Really looking forward to nailing this one into the coffin. And it is because I really, really love this film, Art of the Dead. Art of the Dead. We're going to be doing this over four episodes. And today's episode, Art of the Dead, first of all, is a wonderful, wonderful film. It's got Tara Reid. My guests, which are going to be Lucas Hassel, who plays Dylan Wilson, Jessica Morris, who plays Gina Wilson, and Robert Donovan, who plays Father Gregory, like the Max von Sydow, if you will, of this wonderful little film, which I really classify it as the picture of Dorian Gray meets The Exorcist meets Seven. It is a very, very cool film. And our first guest on our first Art of the Dead episode is none other than Lucas Hassel, who plays Dylan Wilson.
That is quite the intro. Thank you, sir. Yes, here I am.
Mr. Hassel, thank you for being on Podcast Them Softly, and thank you for being part of Art of the Dead. What a great little film. What did you think when you first were offered and probably read the script for Art of the Dead?
Well, you know, I had a little inkling as to what this type of film would be, because I had shot a feature previously with Rolf Konevsky called The Black Room, where I played opposite Natasha Henstridge, and it was also a horror film, similar sort of tone, a little bit over the top, sort of out there practical effects kind of movie. And so I wasn't completely in the unawares as to what I was diving into, and sure enough, you know, knowing Rolf, his imagination is almost second to none. So it was just a hoot from the beginning, and of course I was thrilled that he wanted me to be in his production.
There's something that I come away with, other than a real love for this movie and the urge to keep watching it, is, and I'll tell you this, and I really want to talk with Rolf about this more in depth, but just your impressions. I really feel that the premise of this is so catchy that I can see I can see Hollywood ripping it off.
I think they had the Seven Deadly Sins, I think, has been used sort of on and off in various thematic, but I hadn't seen it paired up with animals or with paintings in this particular way, and that was such a clever take on the Seven Deadly Sins.
Yeah, but I mean, could you see like visualize with me? Could you see like a big sort of $80, $90, $100 million version of this movie with, say, I don't know, whoever you like, who's famous today? Robert Downey Jr.
Well, I totally could. The problem with that is I would be cut out of that loop in a heartbeat. So I'm not really looking for them to make a $180 million movie, because I would not be in it, I'm sure. They would go for what you said, Robert Downey Jr. They would get Will Smith in there. They would get some fun characters, and I would watch it from the seat.
Yeah, sure. But you would rather. I think. You would rather be in it, and I'd certainly rather you were in it, because you did a wonderful performance. But before we get into some more Art of the Dead, for the audience who may not be familiar, this is kind of our for those who came in late, little moment of the interview where I'll ask Lucas, could you give us a little bit of your path to becoming and your career up until Art of the Dead?
I'll make it brief and sweet. Basically, born and raised in Denmark, Copenhagen, and I went to Trinity College in Dublin, Ireland for acting, and I worked over there in theater. And I got into a short film that ended up winning at Sundance called Man About Town back in 96. And so that was sort of my move to the U.S. and sort of dropped theater, left theater behind, and started focusing on TV and independent film stuff. So that's what I've been essentially doing, to get into writing as well, and then eventually filmmaking. I had a film in the Sydney Indie Film Festival, which is happening right now, I believe, won last year for Best Horror Film, Best Short Film. So that was pretty awesome. So I write and direct as well. And you can catch me on pretty much all of the TV shows and various episodes here and there. And then you know, now a lot of indie film that will go, you know, to VOD, straight to video on demand usually.
Right, right. That kind of leads me to my next question, like, is, and this is a question for your filmography. You mentioned that you write and direct short films.
Yep.
Now, do you, I guess my question is, are you doing that because you generally, like, you might have got into this via a performance, but you've always wanted to be the writer, director, producer, and actor kind of guy, like put more arrows in your quiver, so to speak?
Well, I always had a desire to be an actor, and that was my one and only goal. And then being in the business for X amount of time, it gets a little old to always hand your power away to others, because as an actor, you walk into a casting office and you sort of do your thing, and then you walk out crossing your fingers that you'll be cast, and it's really not in your control. So once I was on sets and I started realizing, well, I would have put the camera over there, or I'm not sure why the director is doing that, I started realizing that I have my own point of view. And I knew I could write somewhat, so it was essentially a big trajectory to try to take some of that power back that I've been giving away for a long time, because of course writing and directing your own stuff is control, and so that felt really good. So I still enjoy acting in other people's work as long as the director and the writing is strong, right, which of course Rolf Kanevsky is, but other times you're sort of on set thinking, yeah, I'd rather not be necessarily doing this. It's a paycheck, but it's not really that satisfactory. So writing and directing my own stuff is incredibly satisfying, because at the end of the day, whether people love it or hate it, at least it's mine, and I know exactly why I'm doing what I'm doing.
Right. Very cool. Okay. Yeah. Lucas Hassel, are you ready to play 7 Deadly Questions?
Always ready. Yes. Let's
All
do
right.
it.
So these are questions that I'm going to ask Lucas, related to Art of the Dead, based on the 7 deadly sins. What fun will this be? Okay, Lucas, let's start with the first sin. The first sin on your list, Lucas, is lust. Is there anything during the making of Art of the Dead that you lusted after?
Well, you know, as a professional actor, walking onto set and realizing that my wife was going to be Jessica Morris, it is, you know, not only do we have to be in love in the movie as a couple, it makes it easier when she is Jessica Morris in real life, because we hit it off straight away. And so, you know, we were both, you know, previously sort of, we have partners of our own. However, on set, it's important that we have that chemistry. So we actually really hung out and sat in each other's laps and really sort of went all the way out in terms of being a real couple. So in my mind, I lusted after Jessica the entire shoot.
Right. That was a really great answer. I thought you'd say something like better catering.
That was my second answer.
All right. Which leads us to our next sin, gluttony. Did you ever commit the sin of gluttony during the filming of Art of the Dead?
Well, you know, all you have to do is go to the craft table and look at the actors, you know, down the gummy bears and the Twizzlers and the candy in between takes, and you see that there is gluttony all around. So that just comes on set automatically. There is a lot of gluttony around the craft table.
Right, right. But mainly the candy section.
Listen, that is, everybody leaves the fruit behind and goes straight for the absolutely non-nutritious nonsense.
And you think of the people that do their catering too, like, and they cut all that fruit up very nicely for everyone, thinking that you're all such wonderful looking, healthy people. You must really look after yourselves. And
outside of shooting, that's exactly what happens. And then once you're on a set,
right, right.
You know, you let everything go.
That's fine, yeah, because you've got the job. You don't have to worry anymore. unless you put on 50 pounds while you're making the movie, in which case.
Well, usually you come off a little heavier after a shoot than you started. That's just how it goes. And then you get back to your own time, and then you do your own thing. You lose it again, and then that's how it goes,
well,
up and down.
Save you going home and cooking, right?
Right, that's right. Although I do like to cook, Kent.
Oh, no, I'm not suggesting you don't like to cook. I was just saying, like, you know, when you've come off a set after goodness knows how many hours,
Yeah, no, trust me. That's the last thing you want to spend time on.
And the
for
luck
sure.
of you, you don't want to come home like, oh. And you don't really want to go through a drive-through. You know, but you've had a nice, hopefully you've had a nice lunch or however. Do they serve breakfast? Do they serve breakfast too on movie sets? Do you use breakfast for the film?
They usually have an egg sandwich or something in the morning.
That's great.
Usually. So.
All right.
But
Lovely.
I'm doing the intermittent fasting. Not that you're terribly interested in that. We shouldn't spend time talking about it. But that basically means I don't eat for 16 hours after dinner, which means I basically skip breakfast.
Hey, guess what? I'm on exactly the same kick.
Oh, cool! But it's working, right?
It is.
So it feels really good. It's so easy
Look,
too.
Yeah, look, it totally works. I was
yeah.
I saw a an internet clip on some sort of lifestyle YouTube lifestyle thing, and it was about this guy who makes these ridiculous big platters of junk food, right?
Okay.
But he is super fit. He's like Bruce Lee to look at, but he's an African American guy. But he was fit as a fiddle. Like I doubt there is a sloppy piece of body on him, right? And people are amazed he eats these massive. Like, he made a hot dog platter, and it must have had about, I don't know, 20 hot dogs, right? And,
yikes, wow.
And just, you know, loaded to the point where they're WMDs, right?
Right.
And I mean with all the trimmings, everything you think you could put on a hot dog or on these hot dogs. And he sits and he eats all this, and people say, how do you look the way you do and eat like a... You know, a psychotic psychotically stoned teenager. And he said, "Well, I do intermittent fasting, right?
Yeah.
So most of the time he lives off like protein shakes or juice, like makes his own juices and whatever else. And once a week he gets all his calories, doesn't he?" And I was like, well, that's great, you know. So really, if I do this, I can sort of have a massive blowout of all the crap food that I enjoy.
Right, exactly, exactly that. That's exactly the effect. I mean, I had the pulling the Band-Aid off slowly kind of thing where I didn't eat bread.
Right.
And now that I'm doing intermittent fasting, you know, bread is back, pizza is back every now and then and stuff. So it's like, it's, you know, I prefer to do it this way.
Yeah, no, it's great. Well, there you go. What a small world. That's nothing good.
Yeah, there you go.
That's we're supposed to be talking about sins, not good things, Lucas.
Right. We got rid of lust. We got over lust. We got over glutton.
All right.
And we got stuck in talking about food after glutton. That's what happens.
That's all right. So let's move on to greed. Were you greedy on set at any time, other than food?
Greed is one of those things that I just abhor in other people, and so I really try to not encourage that in myself. And if I catch myself being remotely greedy in terms of even somebody's attention or anything in shape or form of greed, I nip it in the bud. So I honestly think I can pat myself on the back and say I don't think I was greedy on set. I'm not greedy about lines. I don't know if you can say I'm greedy about getting good work out there, but that's it, and that sounds so lame.
Have you ever been like some of those actors, greedy for like more takes?
You know, I mean, every now and then you come across one of those, and they're, you know, they're just greedy for screen time, and you can spot those actors a mile away that sort of try to sort of cheat the angles in or just sneak another take in, then mess one up deliberately so they know they get another take, and you know, it's just the whole game thing that I'm not playing, and thankfully none of those were on this set. I quickly hastened to add.
That's fantastic. So, were you lazy, sloth? Were you lazy at any time during the making of Art of the Dead?
Was I lazy in any time? Well, yeah, I guess I was pretty lazy throughout the whole shoot because I really didn't exercise at all once we were filming.
Right.
You know, usually I go for a run and I had all the best intentions. I brought my sneakers, you know, I brought my laptop. I was going to write something when I had days off in between shooting.
Yeah.
I wrote nothing and I didn't go for a run once. So, I would consider that was pretty lazy.
Which begs the question, Lucas, what were you doing?
Yeah, not much, you know. They put us up in a house with a pool, and I would basically hang out by the pool a little bit and just try to catch up on some. We had some late nights. We had a lot of night shoots, so it was exhausting. And so basically, it was just a matter of gathering your strength during the day, and you would stay with some of the actors. We'd be put up in different houses with some of the actors. I stayed with Robert Donovan, for instance, and we would hang out in the morning and chat about the world. And so it was just a chill. And we had a pool table in the house. We'd play some pool.
Oh,
and,
what is that?
So it was a fun atmosphere, but it was a lazy atmosphere when we weren't on set.
Right. Okay. So there you go. Sloth was rampant. What about
Wrath? Yes.
What about Wrath? Do you feel like you need to get revenge against maybe someone pulled a trick on you during filming, or someone set you up for a gag? Or I don't know. Someone put you know, something horrible in your coffee. I don't know.
Well, yeah. I listen. It was such a good vibe on set that it's tough to get the seven deadly sins in backstage in this way. So I'm gonna plead the fifth on this one and sort of go, I don't think we had any of that.
Okay. No. Okay. No.
Yeah.
It's very good. Any envious? You're envious of anything?
Well, yeah. Listen, with a set full of actors, there will be envy. It's hard to, nobody really wants to acknowledge that there's envy, and you don't really talk about it, but deep down you hear somebody going, oh yeah, next week I'm shooting something with, you know, Johnny Depp, and everybody's envy flags goes up inside. And they're like, that's amazing, good for you. But like, so envy, I think it just comes with this territory. And again, it's one of those things we try to combat, you know. It's not a positive thing. We don't want to be envious. And so personally, I always try to catch myself, but I think envy just goes with the territory.
But what I think is a great trait that Americans have as opposed to us is, even though you may be envious, you still seem very, very excited for that person.
Yeah, supportive.
Yeah,
true.
Yeah, because we don't do that. Like, if you say that to someone here, like, oh, I just did this, they go, well, good on ya. Like,
right. And you feel,
yeah, what do you
you
want?
Feel the undertone.
Yeah, mm-hmm. what do you want me to do about it?
Right.
You know, so,
yeah.
But
yeah.
I think it's very nice. I kind of wish that my fellow countrymen were a little bit more that way, instead of just like, well, oh, gee, look what he's got. That's good, mate. You know.
Right. Yeah, no, it's just true. I think that the Americans, my colleagues, have been very. There's a supportive nature to that.
Yeah.
That's true.
Like there's this nice like undercurrent. Like, even though you say, hey, next week I'm making a film with Johnny Depp, they're more like, oh, that's so awesome, Lucas. Oh, you must feel so happy. Are you going to be sharing a trailer with Johnny Depp? Oh, I don't think so. I mean, Johnny Depp doesn't share a trailer.
We
might bump into each other on the way to the toilet, maybe, but I mean, I don't think. I think I'm actually green screening against like a tennis ball, and Johnny Depp's just doing his bit separate, you know.
Well, listen, they're interesting tennis balls. It may not be the worst thing, you know.
Ah, that's true.
At least you're not going to catch the tennis ball on a bad day. You know, you never know.
That's
right.
And the tennis ball's only going to need one take.
That's right. That's right. They're going to get it right.
Yeah.
First take.
They're very professional, those tennis balls.
They are those tennis balls, exactly.
Exactly. So we've only got one sin left, Lucas, and that's pride. Anything,
right.
Anything prideful? You're proud of the movie, though. That's the weird
thing. I am, yes. I'm very proud of the movie. I think it's, you know, I think pride is one of those things where I think it's fine to be proud of things that you're good at or that you've done that has gone well, as long as you just keep in mind that you should, you know, don't get ahead of yourself. Don't get a big head. Don't stay humble. Stay grounded, and then you can handle pride. But you know, it's on the list. It's on the list of sins, because if you really start taking to heart all the good things people might say about something or your performance or something, before you know it, you're screwed.
Then you become one of those actors that won't go on stage unless the personal assistants can find enough brown M&Ms to fill a brandy glass. You know what I mean?
Right, exactly. Yeah, exactly. And I've been at those Q&As with with actors or whatever after a film, and there's always one person who goes on and on and on and on in the mic, totally ignoring the fact that there are seven other people sitting next to this person. Mm. And it's just this weird lack of self-awareness, and I think it's connected to this pride, self-absorbed kind of scenario. So I'm determined not to be one of those.
Right. My favorite one, did you ever see that Al Pacino's in it? It's called Simone or Sim One.
Yeah.
My favorite thing is when he's bitching about Winona Ryder to Catherine Keener, and he's saying she insists to have like two cartons of cigarettes, one of them opened, you know, like 10 feet from where she's sitting. And she said, well, what's wrong with that? She goes, she doesn't smoke.
Yeah.
And that's like, yeah. You know, I think that is the pride you're talking about. Yeah.
Definitely.
You get too far ahead of yourself and you won't bath in anything except sparkling mineral water on set. I mean, you know you've taken it beyond ridiculousness at that point.
That's exactly right. I mean, but that said, I think it's also, you know, cool to sometimes, you know, be firm about certain things that are not cool. Yeah. You don't want to be a doormat either.
No.
And so there's a line between wanting green M&Ms only and not sleeping five people to a room on a set.
Yeah.
So, you know, you just got to find that balance of speaking up for yourself, but also not be an a-hole.
It's like Woody Allen once said. He said, "What I love about New York is the fact that if I wish, at 2 o'clock in the morning, there's a sandwich shop that makes sandwiches. Sandwiches I really love. I can go there and get one of those sandwiches at 2 o'clock in the morning. Not that I ever have, but I sleep better knowing that I can."
That's right. That's right. I can totally sympathize with that.
Yeah. And so, Lucas, it leads me to our final question. What do you, Lucas Hassel, or you could answer as your character, maybe Dylan Wilson if you wanted to, what do you believe is the deadliest of the seven deadly sins?
Well, as it turns out, it is Dylan Wilson's sin, greed, that I deem the worst. Yeah. I mean, I don't want to get political on this show. It's fun, whatever, but I'm in the U.S. right now, and we have a sort of weird, precarious situation politically going on, and I think a lot of that is spurred on by greed, which I have nothing but loathing for, so I'm going to go for greed, which is, you know, the toad in the film that takes over my character represents greed, and I think that's the heinous one. We should really try to not fall into that trap.
That's true. Hell comes to Frogtown.
That's a sequel. That's a sequel right there.
Yeah. Hell comes to Frogtown on Dylan Wilson, played by this wonderful man, this great actor, and my distinguished guest, Lucas Hassel. Thank you for being on Podcasting Them Softly. I guess before we go, Tell the audience if you know where people can get a hold of and go and watch Art of the Dead.
So Art of the Dead is coming out. It's out in Walmarts across the country, and it's coming out. It's out on VOD already. It's on Amazon. It's on Hulu. It's on a number of Comcast, I believe, as well. And I think Rolf, when you have Rolf Konevsky on, he can give you a few more avenues for that as well. But it's going to be on more outlets soon as well. But for now, I know of those for sure.
That's fantastic. Lucas Hassel, good luck, sir, with everything you've got going on in the future. You're a marvelous actor. Thank you for being a guest on Podcast and Softly, and thank you for being part of this wonderful film. Get out and see it, people. Art of the Dead. It is the portrait. Well, the way I see it, it's like the portrait of Dorian Gray meets The Exorcist meets Seven. Very, very cool film. I love it.
I love it, man. Thank you so much for having me. And I'm so proud of this film, and I want everybody to check it out. It's a riot.
You're a beautiful, powerful man, Lucas. Thank you for being on Podcasting Softly.